Hello and welcome to Nationwide with me, Sunny Martin. This evening, we are going to be speaking to the IGAD Special Envoy to South Sudan, Ambassador Dr. Ismail Wise, who is going to be giving us an update on the implementation of the Revitalized Peace Agreement of 2018. And Dr. Ismail Wise started by giving me an update on the implementation of the Revitalized Peace Agreement. Where are we with the peace process?
Well, yes, with great pleasure, and also would like to update not only you, but also the South Sudanese public and people on these same issues. Number one, I would like to mention that we are doing very good activities in some parts of the agreement. For example, in the constitution making making process, you know, the work of NCSC is paramount. And I'm glad to announce to our South Sudanese brothers and sisters that I was able to sign the agreement with UNDP, who generously accepted to finance the NCSC and the peace, this NCSC process last Thursday. And we really do hope now that NCSC can pick up their work and resume their mandate in the next 1 or 2 weeks' time. The same is the case with the Judicial Reform Committee, which is also very important. And this is also an IGAD mandate. We are also very far in that issue. I briefed the Minister of Justice yesterday also on the same issues, that now IGAD has already completed the selection process of the chair and the co-chair. We also have secured the funds for this important institution. And we do hope also that the JRC can also resume their activities as soon as possible. There are areas which we are moving, but at the same time, we still have challenges in many other parts of the agreement, especially the long overdue graduation and redeployment of the necessary unified forces, caused mainly by the long-standing stalemate between the two principals on the command structure of the necessary unified forces. This is still really a challenge. And I would like to urge the South Sudanese stakeholders, in this case, the political parties and the Sudanese leaders, South Sudanese leaders, in fact, to enhance and expedite this process. There are some positive development even in this aspect, and the concerned authorities are making really a very good headway, but it's still, it remains necessary to urge the leaders, in fact, to expedite this process.
Just for more clarification to our listeners about this agreement between IGAD and UNDP to finance the work of the NCSC. So when do we see that happening, and what are some of the activities they're supposed to be carrying out?
Well, this is a very good question. You know, I think by now everybody knows the importance and the mandate of the NCSC. As you know, it is an agreement institution, and it is even older than the Revitalized Agreement. They started and resumed their work in 2015 agreement. So what they are doing is, in fact, they are reviewing laws and acts and preparing it. And all those laws presented by the NCSC goes to the TNLA, and these two institutions are responsible for all those laws to be enacted later on and become laws of the Republic of South Sudan. And as you know, there are some pending laws which they have to do it. And one of them, which everybody is asking these days, is the electoral laws, for example. And we hope that the NCSC would prioritize the laws according to the necessities and then produce those laws on time so that the implementation of the agreement is not negatively impacted.
And you have already talked about some kind of some outstanding issues. What are some of the outstanding issues within the agreement that are yet to be implemented?
Well, I've already mentioned that Chapter 2, definitely. This is still to be implemented. That's correct. DDR, which is also very important, part of this agreement, is also to be implemented. And also in Chapter 5, we have the uncertainties and surrounding the establishment of the three transitional justice mechanisms under Chapter 5 of it is also very important. In particular, the silence of the EU regarding the establishment of the hybrid court. Here we do ask, in fact, that the EU should also pick up these issues and implement this part of the agreement as well.
Right, and you have talked about Chapter 2 as being one of the deadlock of the agreement, especially the ratio sharing in the army top command. What is IGAD's intervention in this scenario?
Well, you know, honestly, there are some issues that need to be kept under the carpet sometimes, simply because, you know, the parties can work on this without any interruption and also negative influence from outside. IGAD is doing a very good work on this aspect, and we engaged also our leaders from the region, whether it is Sudan and Uganda, Ethiopia and Kenya. We asked them to assist, and there are a lot of activities going under the beyond, you know, the eyes of the public. And these are very, IGAD is really on top of these agendas and is following the process very keenly and also timely. You heard that the South Sudanese vice president was in Sudan a few days ago. He had a mandate. He accomplished some, but still he has to deliver some. You also know that there will be a retreat, which would be also part of your question, in Uganda. And the leaders in this aspect are raising these issues with the leaders, in fact. And we hope we will have a breakthrough through those engagements.
Yes, and talking about this meeting between the first vice president and the president of the Republic of South Sudan, we understand there is a planned meeting or retreat in Uganda called by the Ugandan president, Yoweri Kaguta Museveni. Any update about it? When do you see that happening? And what should be the main agenda on the table for discussion?
Well, this retreat is very important for many, many ways. Again, we have already discussed this with you in the past. We were planning this retreat since 2019. Unfortunately, it was COVID-19 that disrupted our plan for this retreats. And the main purpose was to organize such meetings every quarter of the year, every third or fourth month, just really to follow the implementation of the agreement. Number one, we have to strengthen and enforce the trust and confidence building measures between the South Sudanese leaders. This is one of the important pillars of this retreat. South Sudan is not the only one which is going through conflicts. They should also learn, you know, from others who underwent similar things and how they have solved such problems. That means learning from others. In fact, it is a government of national unity with at least five stakeholders in Artigano. This is not very easy to manage They have to learn from others how such governments, such institution can perform well together. And these are the pillars of this retreat. At the same time, they have to monitor the process, the fourth pillar, so that they follow what is going on and how it is implemented, and they can correction measures at the right time before it is too late. A very important measure. IGAD was pushing for this. South Africa was the first country that availed itself and promised to host the first retreat, but because of COVID-19 in South Sudan, in South Africa, it was not possible. But it doesn't mean that will not happen. We are very keen that also South Africa would also come up to host one of those retreats. And similarly, we are expecting that also other IGAD members, other than Uganda, will also one day also come up with support to host further meetings of the South Sudanese leaders.
Any idea as to when will this retreat in Uganda happen?
Well, currently, the President of the Republic of Uganda, His Excellency Museveni, have already sent invitations, and leaders of South Sudan have received these invitations. They know the dates, but if you ask like this, I hope that this retreat will take place sometime next week, the first week of March.
We also have this scenario back home here where we have the Kidgwang and the breakaway faction within the SPLA-IO. And we have discussed this many, many times with you. What impact is it having on the peace process?
Well, you see, you are right. We have discussed these defections many times. And I will repeat, defections in one way or another, that does not really make sense. We are working toward one unified army, the army of the Republic of South Sudan, with one commander-in-chief who is destined to be the president of the Republic, in this case, His Excellency General Salva Kiir Mayardit. So defections does not really make sense. It is time really to transfer from three commander-in-chiefs or more than even three commander-in-chiefs to one commander-in-chief in the Republic of South Sudan. Well, defections have no positive impact at all. But if it happens, then we really do and expect that they end at least the emerging or the continuing conflict. We also expect that they lead to solutions so that the contradiction between the parties becomes less. And that's why we sometimes say, okay, it happened, but let us see the positive impact of it. And, some might even say, when some of the groups break away from one other group, instead of going to the bush, into the forest, perhaps they should be bound by other forces, and perhaps it has that effect. But in general, we say defection is not is illegal. It even contradicts the peace agreement. They should cooperate into one national army, and that is the fact in reality. However, if it happens, in this case, like a Kitwan group, then we hope at least it silences the gun in those respective areas.
With all these defection from here to there and vice versa, what should be the game changer to move forward the peace process?
Very simple. And this is also, in fact, my wish and my request on the South Sudanese leaders to enhance the implementation of the necessary unified forces, graduate them, and redeploy them. And those who does not qualify for this to be part of that forces, assist them in their reintegration and their successful reintegration into the communities. You know, when a soldier cannot do his professional job anymore, how is he going to survive and sustain his family? This is where DDR is very important, and he should be successfully integrated into the community. Retrained, if possible, in a new field, supported him to touch base in that field and earn his own living. And there is, South Sudan is not the only country that is supposed to undergo DDR. There are many positive experiences in the region. Uganda have done it, Ethiopia have done it, Rwanda have done it, Somalia have done it, many countries have done this DDR. There are ample experience in the continent. So this is also would be a game changer at the same time. So all in all, we have to do whatever it takes and possible. In fact, graduate the necessary unified forces and redeploy them in their service. This will help in many other fields as well. To contain, for example, the ongoing communal fights, who will stop them? Other than this, we are also now discussing issues of the election as we go on through in line of the peace agreement. How can these elections take place without security? And well-respected and well-accepted forces by the people of South Sudan. So it will help also in many other fields of the implementation of this peace agreement.
Yes, Ambassador, like you are talking about the election, with just 12 months to the end of the interim period, that ends on the 22nd of February, 2023. And with so many outstanding issues yet to be implemented, is it feasible to conduct a free and a credible election at the end of the interim period?
Well, we also discussed this many times. It is important to point out elections are not the end by itself. They are just a means for an end. Elections should assist in the transfers of this of a government into a democratic structure. It should also help to promote in the country into a government elected by the people and a peaceful manner of changing the leadership of a country if possible and if necessary. And at the same time, secure peace and stability in the country. So what we say, there must be some prerequisites for conducting these elections. As you say, some of those activities which are pending are not by far all necessary for the conduction of the elections. But we have to enhance all those what is required in order to conduct that elections. And as we discussed last time, we have to make sure that there are a political environment in the country, a stable environment in the country, political space for the political parties in order to conduct. Refugees have to come back and return. Yeah, the constituencies have to be demarcated if necessary. It is not, but if necessary, we have to think about census and find out who is eligible for voting in the country. So all those things which are required must be done before we talk about these discussions. We even don't have, as I said, the electoral laws. Now NCSC, we will ask them, and we will ask them, in fact, to expedite and then come up with those electoral laws. Electoral Commission is very important. Building their capacity and training them is issues which are very important. Here, IGAD has to work with other friends of South Sudan and other institutions, especially African Union and the United Nations, in this case also UNMISS, so that we do whatever it takes, in fact, that these elections would take place and should take place.
Yes,
it will take place.
One of the confusion going on at the moment, people are a little confused. According to you, as the IGAD special envoy, and according to the agreement, when are elections supposed to be conducted? Is it this year or 2023? As per the agreement, could you make more clarification? Because some people are talking about 2023.
Yes, very clear. That to be frank with you, there were several extensions of the agreement. One time it was 6 months, you remember, and another time it was about 100 days. We also had the effect of COVID. That does not only become a burden to South Sudan, but also to all the countries of this globe. So if we see all these things, the right dates on these issues is not 2022, but not definitely before 2023.
Right now, other parties to the agreement, like the SPLM-IO, have said that it will be very difficult to hold elections given the fact that the forces have not yet graduated. What is your take on this?
Well, I think I have already mentioned the graduation of forces, their deployment or redeployment is very important and paramount for peace and the security in the country. And this will also serve the election process. This is very true and very correct. That's why we have to be very selective also in this case and say what should be done. And as I said, election itself is not an end. It's just really a means, and a very important means, by the way. We have to not only brainstorm, we also have to work with other friends, institutions, and partners so that we have that necessary conditions available in the country at the right time and with the right means. And IGAD will try to synergize with other organizations like African Union and the United Nations. You know that currently the AU Peace and Security Commission is in Juba. I think they will be leaving today. So I met them, I gave them a briefing, and one of my recommendation and suggestion was, you know, that African Union and United Nations should work together in the implementation of this peace process for the remaining part of the agreement.
With just 12 months remaining, do you think those remaining unimplemented articles within the agreement can be completed within these 12 months?
Well, this is a development in progress. By definition, we will guarantee and we will make sure that this agreement is implemented in letter and spirit in the coming time frame. But it doesn't mean, honestly, that we have to complete everything in this remaining few months to come. If you go into the history, there are many other agreements which are signed by many other countries. In this case, also the CPA. Even after how many years, the CPA is still is in the process of implementation. So we have to see in relation, and we will do whatever it takes really to implement this agreement, but also be conscious that we have not only to rush, but we have to do what we are doing it in a very diligent way that serves the interest of the people of South Sudan.
We have a surge in subnational violence or conflict, which is claiming many, many lives right now in the country. As IGAD Special Envoy, does it worry you that this might have an effect in the peace process?
It worries me a lot, my dear brother. And every civilian and everybody that are affected by these communal fights is really something that worries me very, very much. That's why I'm asking the South Sudanese leaders and the stakeholders, especially here, the political parties and the community leaders, and faith-based groups, and civil society organization to stand all together and to do everything possible to contain this civil, communal fights, which is now really taking a very dangerous dimension in many parts of South Sudan. It is not only a matter to feel sorrow when you read every morning that that number of people have died because of these communal fights. And it really worries me a lot. And I hope our people will come to their sense and really stop these non-senseless killings every day.
What is your remark on the peace process as we conclude this interview? What are your expectations as an envoy of IGAD within this implementation of the peace process?
Well, my expectation is, of course, that our stakeholders will come near together, develop trust and confidence with one another, jointly implement seriously this agreement, expedite the implementation, and stop also these internal defections here and there, and deliver what the people of South Sudan really expects from them. And this, you can summarize it in one single word: a sustainable peace in the Republic of South Sudan. And this is also my wish and my hope for the people of South Sudan, that they are part and parcel of the region, and they have the same advantage and the same privilege like other regions as well, so that they can also live their life in peace and in dignity.
Ambassador, thank you so much for talking to Radio Mirai. We appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much as well.
And that was Dr. Ismail Wise, IGAD Special Envoy to South Sudan, talking to me on the line from the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa. And with that, we have come to the end of the first hour of Nationwide. My name is Sani Martin.